the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and go!
Welcome back to Walk It Off. I'm Dani Wexelman, and I am joined by Ashley Chavez. Today, Gemma Kaneko is out of the building, but we are going to carry on for Gemma, and we're going to do this podcast proud. Ash, how are you doing today?
Doing great. A little sunburnt. We were just talking about it earlier. I was a fool and let myself lay out for far too long with just one layer of sunscreen. So no one do that. It's really, really bad and you won't get any sleep.
Lesson learned.
That's how I'm doing.
Reapply. Reapply the sunscreen. Yes. Ash, there's a lot of stuff going on right now in sports. I'm trying to wrap my head around all of it. I just want to go over a couple of things at the top of the show right now. Our trade deadline hangover is real. So Yu Darvish couldn't have done any better for the Dodgers in his debut in New York. You couldn't have do it on a bigger stage. Seven shutout innings, Yu Darvish, not too shabby. And then Sonny Gray, kind of the opposite of that for the Yankees. Didn't quite get the support in the field he needed. Didn't get the run support. Not the best showing in his debut. JD Martinez is on fire right now for the Diamondbacks. Just straight contributing right away. Yeah, really mind-blowing. I dropped that guy from my fantasy team when he got hurt earlier in the year. I am regretting that decision pretty badly right now. Any quick thoughts about the trade deadline hangover?
I mean, those are, yeah, obviously the main stories. I was expecting Yu Darvish to do spectacular, and I was expecting Sonny Gray to do okay at best.
Yeah.
So that turned out how I thought it would. JD Martinez hurt, so because the Giants were talking to him for a while, and then it fell through, and it's like, God, but now you're in the NLS, and I have to look at you all the time, and
yeah,
we could have had you. Like, so I want him to do bad, just so I feel fine, but no, it is, it's nice to see him doing well.
That's the guy you want on your team. You don't want to face that guy.
No, you don't want to face that guy, and he's such a great player for so many different types of teams. Like, he can slide into any team and be amazing. So he's proving that right now in Arizona, and it just hurts. It hurts so bad. Giants could have had him.
Well, what about this? What do you think about Mike Petriello making a case for Mike Trout as the AL MVP? Despite missing 5 weeks, Petriello is like, this guy has a case. I don't know if anyone has a better case. What do you think?
I mean, that guy will always have a case.
Yeah.
Trout will always have a case. And Mike Petriello is like 99% right, I'd say, throughout his entire life. He's only wrong because he's a Dodger fan. Just kidding. But there's still a good amount of baseball left for Trout to like put up some incredible numbers. But Altuve's numbers are just
– yeah,
they're out of control. It's hard to beat him. And it's hard to want anyone to beat him right now. And I am like a super, super Mike Trout fan. But I'm loving this year that Altuve and the Astros are having. So I really, really want him to get an MVP this year. Second would be Mike Trout.
Share the love.
I don't know. We'll
see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let someone else have it. Someone who played the whole season.
It can't be his every year.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to get back to Mike Petriello on that hopefully soon. But we're going to jump into Trend or Trash because we have some social media controversy, which I don't think anyone saw coming. So let me give you some of the facts. All right. Atlee Little League softball team made it to the Junior League World Series championship game. All right. Pretty big deal. Hours before the game, a photo surfaced that was on Snapchat, okay? I hate that we're even talking about Snapchat, but we are. It was a photo of six of these women flipping off the camera, and it said, "Watch out, host." And that was referring to the Kirkwood, Washington team that they had beaten to get to this championship game. So Little League finds out, DQs the team, disqualifies the team, and the team that takes its place, the Kirkwood, Washington team that they had beaten. So there's a lot of moving parts in this situation, but Trend or Trash, this team being DQ'd after the social media post surfaced of the team flipping off the camera.
I'm going to trend this.
Okay.
It sucks. It sucks. This sucks. This is a terrible situation. You have young girls that are making little mistakes that we've all made a million times over.
Yeah.
But it is important. So important for kids to learn now that social media will be your enemy if you use it incorrectly, and they're getting a real tough life lesson that they'll hopefully take with them forever and never deal with this again. And I think there should be more consequences for children on social media just solely to help them out when they get older, because, you know, a lot of these people don't ever grow up and are still children and posting dumb things on social media, and they're 30 years old and getting fined and in trouble and this and that and causing damage to their teams and all this unnecessary, like, media attention because they were childish on the internet. So I think it is good that we stop, we make an impact now and stop them while they are doing these little tiny things.
Yeah.
But it sucks. It sucks to learn this lesson this way.
Yeah, it was really tough to read because I think back to when I was playing softball, and maybe if we had done something similar to this, we didn't have Snapchat, we didn't have Instagram, we didn't have Twitter.
Yeah.
So maybe if, like, we didn't do it, but if we would have done something like this, I don't think anyone would have ever found out, right? You have to get the photos developed. So in about two months later, the photos would surface. But I'm going to trash that they got disqualified. I don't know if that was the consequence that was needed. I completely agree that social media is a monster and can ruin lives, it can do a lot of damage, especially when you're so young. And what hurts me the most is that this photo will live on forever. These girls' faces are very prominent. You can easily tell who is who, and this photo is never going to go away. So it's going to follow them for a really long time. I don't think their names are identified, but I'm sure somewhere they might be. So I think that's what's really tough, is that they made this little mistake. I'm sure that, you know, one girl did it, so the rest did it, maybe, something like that. And now it's going to follow them around to other adventures in their lives. Oh, hey, cat. But we have a cat joining the podcast today. But
I wish
that they would have been punished. I feel like it was punishment enough that the photo went viral, that their faces are out there. That's embarrassing. I'm so embarrassed for them. And apparently when they got home, their friends and their family had welcomed them and said, you know, you're all stars to us, which is great. It's great.
Yeah.
But I think the lesson was learned enough that they were, like, publicly shamed, you know, on the internet. I think they should have gotten to play in the game. But, you know, Little League said, this isn't what we stand for. This is below our standards. So you are disqualified. So it's really interesting. And it sucks. Like you said, it's hard to watch something like that with such young women, just kids in general, who are making mistakes. Yeah. But again, the internet is a dangerous, dangerous place. So hopefully.
It is.
Yeah.
I know. And, like, I get Little League, like, setting standards super, super high.
Yeah.
If we let someone, like, kind of do this, then we have to let someone kind of do that. But, man, what an unfortunate situation.
Yeah.
And also kind of nuts that this is really one of the first times we've heard, like, 12-year-olds getting in trouble this way. Because they are on the internet. They are on Snapchat. They are doing this. They're doing that. They're in, like, somewhat prominent levels in sports, you know, like, especially Little League and things like that. So it is interesting to see this for what I feel like is the first time.
Right.
And hopefully it's a lesson learned by everybody.
Yeah. And that they also thought that no one would ever see it. That's interesting to me that they haven't ever thought of that someone would take a screenshot and share it. Like, they didn't think of that. So, you know, that is, it's a tough situation. All right. So the good news is, though, that it is August, and that does mean that it's Little League time in our baseball world. So the World Series is at the end of the month. The Cardinals and the Pirates are playing a game at Williamsport on the 20th, which is awesome.
That's right.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's
so it's about to get real good. And then we're in September. So that is that's the bright spot that comes out of this, is we're reminded that the World Series is coming up for Little League. Okay. So now we're going to move on to the NFL and Mr. Tommy Brady. Of course, you know, the guy just turned 40. He's in the best shape of his life, the top of his career. He's not going anywhere. But Giselle, his wife, made comments earlier this year about that Brady had a concussion during the 2016 season. That it wasn't reported. Yeah. Nobody knew about it. The Patriots aren't commenting. It's pretty interesting that she would go out and make these comments. Usually families, especially high-profile families, are pretty, you know, tight-lipped about those things. And we just saw last week the medical journal JAMA published a study, 202 brains from deceased former football players. In that study, doctors found CTE in 110 of the 111 brains in from former NFL players. We are seeing guys retiring earlier than normal, right? Because they see these studies come out. But then we had Jamal Adams, sixth overall pick, Jets rookie last year. And he said, quote, he would be fine dying on the football field. So there's a lot of mixed messages and signals going on.
Yeah.
But we're going to focus on Brady here. So trend or trash, Tom Brady's decision to not confirm that he had a concussion during the 2016 season.
I don't know, because why didn't you talk about it? The only thing I could think of is that it's either a pride thing or maybe he's just trying to get some, I don't know, maybe he's too close to Goodell. I could see that happening. You know, like, I think we've all imagined like Brady, Goodell, and Robert Kraft just getting dinner together and laughing maniacally about how they're ruining the sport. Just kidding, Rena. I just really don't understand why he wasn't so open about his concussion. It doesn't make me think, or anyone as far as I'm concerned, that you are damaged goods or anything like that. If anything, like, I know we're all waiting for Brady to not play anymore, unless you're a Patriots fan. He's going to live forever, it seems like, and he's going to play forever. I don't think that because he had a concussion that he is an old man and needs to be out of this game, because you have children getting concussions. Everyone gets concussions if you play football.
Right.
So I really don't understand the secrecy behind it, unless it's a really big deal or unless he was just instructed, hey, CTE is already getting a lot of stuff. We don't need our superstar quarterback talking about how he has a concussion now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to trend this because I'm so curious and I don't know what's going on. And now the media has got a little morsel of it and they're going to probably run with it forever because it's Brady news. So we'll find out a little bit more, but I just don't see the harm in saying you had a concussion. It doesn't mean you have CTE. It doesn't mean anything,
right?
Really. You had a concussion, you passed whatever protocol you needed to pass, and then you played again. So I'm not really sure what's going on here.
Yeah, I want to try to too, but it makes me think that it was worse than what we're imagining, right? Because otherwise, why wouldn't you? It's a concussion. You can get a concussion doing a lot of different things.
I can get a concussion right now.
Exactly.
I wanted to.
if you wanted to, but you wouldn't want to.
No, I don't want to.
No, just to set the record straight. Yeah, it's confusing. And for me, I feel like if anyone could really give a voice to this and really show the light and show people what they need to know about it, it would be Tom Brady, right? It would be this guy. He is the face of the NFL. And so I don't know why he feels like he needs to be a golden statue that can't ever crack and be so perfect. You know, everyone talks about he's achieved everything except for going 19-0. But, you know, I don't think that, like you said, this would make him less of a person or less of a football player. But it worries me that it was worse than what they're saying, because I don't know why else you would report it. The Patriots can get in trouble for that. You know, there's a lot of different avenues. But then also I think what's worse is that kids or other players will be like, well, Brady didn't report it, so I'm not going to report it either. And then it leads to an even worse diagnosis later on down the road, maybe CTE, because you didn't think it was a big deal because Brady didn't think it was a big deal.
Yeah, he has such an influence over kids and so many people, that it is almost like, I don't want to assume anything. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it was just really bad and the Patriots like, we need you to go back in and we can get in trouble for this, so just do it.
Right.
Or maybe it was like, I don't want to get in trouble with anyone with the NFL, so I'm not going to say anything, but you have to, you have this platform, you have to, it's very important that you talk about it. If you have a concussion, discuss it for a second. I bet if you mentioned it, no one would think anything of it. We would never talk about it again, because I assume that he gets concussions all the time.
Right.
I assume that Von Miller gave him 27 concussions.
Yeah.
Like like, it's not a big deal, but it is if you are hiding it.
Yes.
Totally. I don't know. They just made this a deal.
Yeah,
it shouldn't have been a deal, and it is now a deal. Yeah.
You're completely right.
No, I don't get it.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to some quick hits. I typed this up, and Rena thought that you typed it up, so I'm excited to share it with you. The Dolphins.
I think I know exactly what it is.
The Dolphins hate Colin Kaepernick so much that they brought Jay Cutler out of retirement, out of his 11-year career retirement, to lead the team after Ryan Tannehill got hurt and is out for however long he is out. They said, we don't like you. We dislike you so much that we're going to bring a guy out of retirement who was supposed to be an analyst for Fox Sports this year because we don't want you on our team.
All this is showing is that to some teams, winning isn't everything. You know what's everything is not having your fans boo during the national anthem or whatever. Or Cutler. So no one's going to buy that jersey. What are you doing? First off, yes, I did think I wrote that maybe in my sleep. I didn't even know if, like, who wrote that, for sure. So I agree with Rena. Second, yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say at this point. Jay Cutler, really? Okay, that's fine. I love that Richard Sherman went out and was just like, here are the quarterbacks that are worse than Colin Kaepernick. Everyone's a fool for this, because it's true. Everyone is a fool for this. But good to know, Dolphins, that you don't care that much about your team. Not that Cap is some, like, shining star, but he's definitely better than Jay Cutler. And Jay Cutler is a broken human being that retired on purpose.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. He hung up his cleats. He hung up his cleats. And yet they still think that he could do a better job. So, again, like you said, it's clear that, like, winning is not their priority, but just not pissing off their fan base or the NFL even. Like, we don't really know what the motives are. They could be bigger
I
than
think
what
that's
we're,
really it.
Yeah, than what we're imagining, which is really sad. And what's more sad is that every single week we are still seeing someone go before Cap for teams that could use him and want to win and thrive and do great. And they're like, meh, we don't care. We'd rather lose. We don't need that that extra baggage with us.
I mean, there must be some memo that went around saying, hey, no one picked this guy up because I don't want to deal with this anymore. But guess what? You're going to deal with this forever because you're avoiding him like the plague. We're still going to wonder what's going on because none of this makes sense.
And just
but
like
the NFL's never been good at these things.
No, and just like you said with the Brady thing, like, it wouldn't have been a deal if he just would have come out and said that he had a concussion. This Kaepernick thing wouldn't be a deal if he would have just already been picked up by someone. Like, it would have been old news. Like, that cycle would have been gone. It would be, you know, how he's doing in camp. That's it. And maybe is he still going to protest? But, like, we're still seeing other teams and all their extra baggage being – all their dirty laundry is being aired out. The Cowboys airing out their dirty laundry. I mean, talking about that and Jerry Jones saying that domestic violence is, quote, not an issue when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott. He's being examined for other things that he's done, like – pulling down a woman's shirt at St. Patrick's Day celebration, maybe, or getting marijuana in Seattle last year, an altercation in Dallas at a nightclub. But you're saying, like, that we would rather deal with this than Kaepernick. Again, like, I mean, we could talk about it for a long time. But also your thoughts quickly on Jerry Jones saying domestic violence is not an issue when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott right now.
I wish I wasn't surprised by this, but I read it and I just, like, rolled my eyes and that was it, because I don't expect anything less coming out of Jerry Jones's mouth. They lucked out that he has so many other problems that he could say, look, we're focusing on these other issues instead of this one issue. So, I mean, it's just, it's insane that this human being is getting away with all this stuff because he's really, really good on a very, very popular team. And then you have Kaepernick, who is just protesting and doing incredible charitable work, but is basically the plague.
He's a liability.
I'll never understand. Yeah.
All right. Okay, let's move on to fill in the blank. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. All right, we're going to start with Aaron Judge because I feel like we can't start fill in the blank without Aaron Judge. At the end of the season, he will be slugging blank.
I do think we should always start with Aaron Judge, and I love that so much. While we can, I hope we can the rest of the season and forever. I'm going to say, what is he at, like 630 right now?
Yeah.
I don't think he can keep that up. But I want it to be over 600, so I'm going to say 605.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to say 700.
Whoa, I want that to happen.
I'm super optimistic and high on Aaron Judge. I think everyone's been cramping his style right now. They're, you know, they're on him for, you know, he's really only on base when he hits home runs and then he's off the base quickly. But
the Yankees.
I think I think he'll be okay. I think he just needs a second to adjust, get back in the rhythm. All right, blank pitcher will make the biggest impact on his new team. Someone who was just traded. Who's going to make the biggest impact?
Man, it's going to be you, Darvish. And now I'm going into hiding. That's it. I'm out of here. I mean,
I like,
I guess,
that choice.
Like, it wouldn't be that big of an it wouldn't be that big of an impact, I guess, because they're already doing super, super well.
Yeah.
So let's say for the sake of what I said earlier, Sonny Gray. I want Sonny Gray to pull it together and then do well for the Yankees.
Okay, I like that too.
That's what I'm going with.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with Justin Wilson.
Okay.
I think that relievers.
Yes.
When it comes to the postseason. I mean, right now he can make an impact like in the next month and a half, but I think that we'll see him shine in the postseason. So
yeah, that'll be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right with relievers. It's like superstar or massive fail.
Yeah.
And there's no in between.
No, there's not at all. So we'll see if he can rise to the occasion. All right, Austin Jackson, his catch goes down as blank.
Goes Austin Jackson's catch goes down as lost in the shuffle because there's been so many catches that have been getting so much attention. Some of them not worthy of that attention just because you're jumping over a 5-foot fence. But I don't know. I feel like it's going to get lost because is this the year of like incredible catches or are we trying to bring this back too hard? I can't tell.
I don't know.
I feel like every week there's another incredible catch that everyone's just like, yes, this is number one this year, blah, blah, blah. And then there's another one next week.
Maybe we're in the year of
incredible catches.
Yeah.
Yeah, so many robberies.
Yeah. And maybe guys in the back of their mind are like, oh, shoot, like I got to do it too. Everyone else is doing it. I got to jump on the train.
It's like the early 2000s all over again.
Okay, I said Austin Jackson's catch goes down as a moment in your life when you're eating a bag of chips and you get to the bottom and you don't want it to end because it was so good and you ate it so fast and you got so excited, but then you didn't realize you ate the last one and you weren't prepared yet. I wasn't prepared to stop watching the replays of this catch over and over again. So it goes down as a really good bag of chips for me. I would say, to be honest, dude, I think like it's going to go down as like a top 10 potentially best catch of all time when people actually – get a chance
all time.
All time. Yeah. I think that it's up there. I think that he can compete. I think that it's the ballpark. It was his timing, you know, it was the moment, and he went over the freaking railing. So I say top 10.
That always adds to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. But the season
is the bag of chips.
The bag of chips. The season is not even over yet. We have so many more chances to continue to eat the bag of chips.
So many weeks for bags of chips. Truly. So many weeks left.
For those Cheetos. All right. Yeah. Last one. Ohio State will lose blank games in the 2017 season.
I'm going to say 3 games.
Okay. 3 games.
They're going to lose 3.
That's bold.
It's a safe. It's
safe.
I mean, I guess that
safe
is bold.
And bold.
I mean, I felt like it was safe and I wanted to be like, they lose all their games. But I'm going to say bold. 3.
3. All right. I'm going with 1.
Yeah. 1. To who? Michigan?
Maybe, or the national championship game.
Oh.
That's where I'm going with this. Yeah. So, perfect season. And
that
then
makes me excited.
They lose. Yeah. They lose the only game that matters. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
I would like to see that.
I have no hate against Ohio State. That's for Gemma. That's for you, Gemma.
That is for Gemma. And for Rena.
And for Rena. Okay, we have some shout outs that we have to address really quickly. So, Elizabeth Merrill wrote this story for ESPN about Olivia Perez, and it's a small little town in Texas. When your graduating class in high school has 3 to 5 people, which is unfathomable to me. I thought my graduating class was small. I had like 250 in my school district. That was small. And Olivia Perez steps up and joins the football team so they can continue to play and have a season. It's just the most selfless story that I've read in a really long time, and I think this girl is really special, and I wish more people would be like her.
I agree. What a wonderful story. What a like picture to paint. First off, I was like really felt transformed. It's beautiful. And also the fact that they're playing in an 80-yard field just because they have to play
both sides.
Crazy. The whole story was just incredible. I loved every second of it.
Yeah, I guess I should mention it's 6-man football. So
6-man, yeah.
6-man,
yeah.
That's it.
Exhausting.
Yeah.
In Texas, middle of Texas.
Right. Hot. Yeah. Props to those two for sure. And then LaDainian Tomlinson, in his Hall of Fame speech, if you haven't listened to it, you got to do it. We've got it on Sports on Earth. Great article over there. So obviously, Pro Football Hall of Fame inductions were over the weekend. Pretty cool stuff there. Ash, any comments about that?
You know, I missed the Hall of Fame game. Where was I? I was doing something and I missed it.
You're getting burned.
And I just had my dad. I probably was on the beach. I've been doing that a lot. I think I was on the beach. What is my life now? But I missed it, and so I need to go back and watch everything.
All right. Well, you'll go back. You might shed a tear.
I'm
gonna
watch it. Yeah. I know. I don't think that's another thing too, is that you have to be in the right place in order to watch something that you know is gonna make you cry, even if it's happy tears.
Yeah.
And so I'm just waiting for that moment where I'm like, I'm mellow now. I can happy cry for a second.
It's time. I've got my tissues and I've got my chocolate and my cat. I'm good.
Exactly. Oh, man.
All right. So we have come up with a new segment. Rena, our producer, came up with this great idea. And I love this. I've been wanting to do like a blog about this because I feel like, and I know it happens to you, all your girlfriends come up to you and ask you, what does this mean? Or what's that? Or, you know, anything sports related. So many questions.
Sure.
And so it's really cool. I love to be able to help them. Makes me feel good about myself.
Yes.
And so there are ways that we can also give you like a little tidbit of information, just something that's happening right now, something that's newsworthy, or just a really bizarre word that may have been thrown out, and we're here to define it or help you understand it, or anything of, you know, all of the above. So we're gonna kick things off. We're it's a working title, chips and guac. Dip a little bit in, a little bit of info. Tastes pretty good. So I'm gonna kick it off with dog days, and I think like people are familiar with the term, but in baseball, obviously August. I've been talking about the dog days since April because I'm a weirdo. But
yeah,
we are in the thick of the dog days now. Baseball is monotonous, and people are kind of twiddling their thumbs waiting for September. But like I said, once again, August means Little League World Series. And once we see all those little kids like hitting bombs, then we forget that it's the dog days. But it also means that the pennant races are like, this is when it matters. August is when you grind it out and you put everything in. The dog days, I think, are some of the most important that we have in baseball. And we start to get closer to September, and then we narrow down who's going where, who's dancing in October. So August is an important month, but it is also a very slow month. It is the dog days of the baseball season. Ash, what do you got?
So mine, because of all these catches and everything, this is just a thing that would not escape my mind. And while this is the opposite of these amazing catches we've been talking about, my term is can of corn, which you may hear a lot because it's old as hell and amazing and weird. But can of corn is when you have an easy pop fly out in the outfield, an easy catch routine, you know, 1, 2, 3. It started with the grocery shop boys getting things down, knocking things down with broomsticks for customers and making that easy catch. So I don't know who started it, actually, now that I think about it. Let's just say someone along the lines of like, let's just say Vin Scully thought of it. I'm not sure who, but I believe it started in New York in the old like Yankees and Giants days. And it would just be from a grocery store clerk knocking some cans of corn off the top of the shelves for the old ladies, catching it super easy. And then that translating into a baseball term.
I love it.
I love those things.
I love that. Yeah. We don't hear it enough. I feel like it's faded, but it's definitely worth the mention, because let's just spice up our vocabulary, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
What's some weird things? Yeah.
So I suppose if you are listening and there's something that you didn't understand or want explained, hopefully one of us could use our brain power and help explain it to you, and we'll work on our title of that. But yeah, but it's cool because being able to kind of explain things to your friends or your family and help them, you know, become a student and be able to use it. Like maybe you're going on a date with someone, or maybe you're going to a family function and you know all they're going to do is talk about preseason college football and you have nothing to contribute. So we'll give you a little nugget and then we'll send you on your way.
Yes.
All right, Ash, any other final thoughts before we close out today?
Yes, today is my mother's birthday. Happy birthday, Mama Chop.
Happy Yay. Birthday. That's awesome. Hopefully the weather is sunny wherever she is.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
She's fine. She's having good weather.
She's doing
Northern
great.
California, it doesn't really get bad. No. So.
That's awesome. Happy birthday. Yeah. Anything else?
I think that's it.
That's it. All right. That's it for me too. It's going to be a busy week, a good week. Yes. I hope that it stops raining because I think I get seasonally depressed when it rains.
I want it to rain.
All right, well,
I'm missing seasons right now.
I'll send the rain
your way.
Give me
the rain. Yes.
I'll send it your way.
It's super dry.
All right, Gemma Kaneko will be back next week, and hopefully everyone learned a lot of things. It's about to get real crazy because football is right here. And it's right under our noses. So we're about to have a really good time. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Now the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line.